Another thing that we've done within this budget is, as you all know, Paul and I have said this many times over the years, ongoing operating costs need to be supported by revenue that are also of an ongoing nature. Whereas a one-time expenditure may be supported by a one-time revenue. And that's when you use fund balance. We always encourage you to do it against one-time expenditures. So we did identify some one-time expenditures that needed to occur in 2017 and identify use of excess fund balance for them. The ones that we've included is we do have a couple and some anticipated severance costs related to some senior managers' anticipated retirements, where if we don't fund the severance costs in advance, we have to leave the position vacant until earnings are sufficient to cover that. And we feel with the other constraints in the budget, that loss of productivity would be harmful to us to continuing to perform. So we did fund the severance costs out of fund balance. Also, we're aware of one property that is sort of in court with the state relative to property tax value, and we wanted to make sure we had a sufficient appropriation that if the state loses that case and we have to refund the property taxes, we actually have the money to do it, but that would be a one-time payment and go away. There's also some unusual building maintenance costs, both in the police department and fire department, with fire department with some tuck pointing, police department with some building access control features that are now getting old. We actually looked at the whole building maintenance schedule when we get into the Committee of the Whole discussions on the budget. You'll see we created a three-year plan to phase in increasing ongoing appropriations for this. So we added $20,000 in ongoing appropriations, but we also added $68,000 to address that immediate need, and then that will disappear in 2018.
Alderman Barber's returned to a seat at 8:05.
Similarly, in the economic development area, not only with TID 5, but having a new economic development director and some other areas that need to be reviewed and some discussion at various levels of looking at some branding and marketing of the city. There is $90,000 in the economic development budget for ongoing professional fees, which is consultants. $25,000 of that we funded with ongoing revenues, so it could continue year after year, whereas at this point, $65,000 of it is anticipated as a one-year cost. We'll talk about some defined benefit pension contributions in the next slide, a very important one that is also coming from fund balance. The senior, in a letter from the senior travel program, they identified that of the $12,000 you've appropriated for this year, $1,400 of it would likely not be used. And there was discussion, why don't they ever get to carry that over? So we've planned for that this year, and we've had that carryover budgeted automatically so that we don't have to come by after the fact. And then every year, as you may recall, we have a large restricted contingency that serves a dual purpose of being emergency appropriations in place and retaining that room under the expenditure restraint limit. And there's about $500,000 for that. The one slide there I referenced was a defined benefit pension contribution. The annual required contribution toward this pension, which is, you could think of it as the old DPW pension fund. They're in a separate one. Most of the employees in sewer and water and Department of Public Works. It's a pension fund that's been in place since the 60s. The total amount the city pays to the pension fund, a significant component of that comes from an actuarially determined cost of funding prior years of service from many years ago. There's been changes in the accounting rules over the years that happened first in the private sector, then the public sector, where you could no longer just fund pension on a pay-as-you-go. You had to make sure you were booking the expense for every year's actuarially determined pension costs against the current year. And in that, they came up with a formula and a term to make up for all the old years. Well, that amount of liability that we're carrying, we actually get charged within the pension fund, and it's assumed that we're going to owe about 7.25% on that over time, whereas we're only earning about 1% on money we have in the bank. So if we use some of our fund balance, pay down, we've estimated about, actually incorporated $1 million worth, with $670,000 in general fund and about $330,000 in sewer and water fund, we can reduce our annual operating costs immediately in the general fund by about $67,000. So we're basically earning 6.5% on the money, and it reduces our fund balance and gets the surplus within the policy. So we'll bring more detail on this to you at those meetings and have finance confirm it, but this is a way to sort of kill two birds with one stone and have our money have much more value to us while at the same time improving our annual operating funded position for not only next year but each year going forward. Another item that's in the budget, it was the landfill siting fees. You may recall that's continued to support capital funds. That was done a number of years ago where primarily it was moved there. And there's still approximately $1 million supporting the capital funds. But as used to occur, I think most recently as 2011, we have applied some of the increase going into this year as funding the general fund operating support. The contract there is of long enough term where one can consider that an ongoing revenue, although there's still some risks with the DNR there, but probably very limited. And so there is some general fund operating support from landfill siting fees. This is another item that you'll see come before you in the coming weeks. Finance Committee, I believe, has already looked at this, where if we pay off to them this year some overpayment they inadvertently made to us and pay it off quicker, indications are that they will take a slightly reduced amount. And what it does is assures we have all of next year's revenue in next year to support that level of activity. So it stabilizes that source and at the same time saves us money overall. So that was incorporated, anticipating that that will occur this year so that next year's revenues meet an entire annualized total. I think it's important in looking at this budget, when you put it in the context of the tax reasons and how we've achieved that and what we need moving forward, is looking at departmental operating expenses. And by operating expenses, I'm talking the non-personnel. You know, 80% of our city's budget is wages and benefits costs. But that other 20% is what those departments live off of. That's the pens and pencils and gas and everything else. And in order to keep those tax levy freezes and that, you know, very nominal increase in 2013, since those freezes since 2014, Department of Administration, IS, Finance, and Auditor, together they're down nearly $18,000, which is about 3% of their total in 2017. Municipal Buildings has been down $15,000, about 13%. Police Department only down $31,000, but that number in the budget you'll see should be adjusted for that $54,000 in the one-time fund balance they're getting to deal with the facilities maintenance issue. So when you back that out and say, what's their ongoing level? They're actually down 7.5% over that time. Building inspection down 30%. Engineering, highway, and parks down 13,000. Fire department looks like it's up 80,000, but 69,000 of that 80 is directly supported by a different revenue. So we increase the expense that funds to get the revenue from ALS. So There isn't really any operating change there. So they do have a modest, about 2.2% increase over that period. So to maintain the municipal property tax levy freezes, departments have generally experienced reductions in their operating expenses. And that's at, by the end of 2017 that they have to get through with this budget. They will also have had to absorb 5 years of any cost increases that occurred in those funds. So it's not just the cuts they got. They've had to absorb any increase in any contracts. All the copier contracts, all of those things go up. They've absorbed all of that. So one of the cautions in looking in this budget, particularly as you look to it, what does it mean for future budgets? Such a pattern simply is not sustainable if the city wishes the departments to maintain current operations. We think we have it in the 2017 budget, but you need to be aware of those implications for the future. The tools we've used, this is another tool that I really believe has sort of gone dry if you're trying to maintain current operations. And that topic flows very naturally right into anticipated unspent appropriations. As you're aware, in each of our budgets, we have a big negative number that we say, let's back this out. We anticipate this amount of money isn't going to be spent in any one year. Last year, you remember, in order to take out the tax levy, that was one of the things we adjusted up to $470,000. Well, there was an additional money to reduce that number this year, so it's at that exact same level you set it at last year. But achieving it becomes even more challenging next year as we've continued to reduce and hold department expenditures down.
Are we on pace this year for that number? Three quarters of the way. I mean, you don't.
I think the finance directors reported we're sort of on target to be around the budget. I don't think we're expected to be far ahead or far behind at this point. But
we're close.
We're close.
All right, that's good enough.
Yeah. And so the important thing I wanted to mention here is it's very possible that further cuts in the operating line items, and you're in the budget, if you're trying to cut something, you're likely to hear me say that will simply result in a likelihood of falling short of meeting the necessary level such that you're really just creating further deficits. I think we're at the limit there. In fact, when we get into it, you know, probably the first $40,000, if someone says, ooh, I found this, let's cut this, or this is going up, probably the first $40,000 you find should go to moving this down from 470 to about 430, so that you're at about a 1 2/3%.
You're offering. Stop it.
Well, I wrote it down right here.
Yeah.
That's
where it should go, because that number is strong. I'll move on, but additional substantive things that you'll find in the budget is a reminder that it is a revaluation year that does affect the tax rate page that we'll see. State shared revenues are always constrained, including the state controlled revenues, as I called it, which is, for example, the hotel motel tax. We're losing $86,000. Health insurance fund, which is what is the what employees and us pay for health insurance. We've been able to keep that rate frozen for a couple of years because we need to make sure we keep it under the Cadillac tax level when that comes around in 2020. And we've been working hard for that. But this year, you simply can't keep it reduced for a fifth year, and there is a 5% rate increase. One of the things that really stung us was the increased cost with Wisconsin Retirement System, over $225,000. Personnel changes, there was very little. The light equipment operator that was put in the budget to start this time of the year in October, since it was only partially funded and there was no additional funding to fill the rest, it was eliminated from the 2017 budget. Since you did just less than a year ago adopt the classification and compensation study, we didn't anticipate market adjustments, which are relatively consistent with the police contract that was recently settled, about 2%. That is a mid-year adjustment. We did include the coalition coordinator for the grant, and the health department is looking to swap some clinic nurse hours for sanitarian hours to help ensure that they keep up with the sanitarian duties for the contract you just approved. And as I mentioned earlier, the part-time building inspector was retained.
Alderman Mayor.
Is that a question?
The health department, the coalition coordinator, how much does that position pay?
It was in your packet today with that item. I don't have
Bill's
it.
Bill's got it. Bill should have it.
It's
three-quarter time.
Bill will have it.
36, and it's high 40s to 60 is the range. So
however, it's a three-quarter time position.
Yes.
Right.
The cost of the budget for next year, including benefits, is just over $54,000.
So what's the balance of the $125,000 used for?
Program.
The rest of the program that that person would use?
I mean, I have a detailed budget. I can go through the...
Alderman, when you get your budget book, there's a health grants fund in that book, and this particular entire grant and how the money is already spent is listed in that book.
Okay, thank you.
Relative to the tax levy and tax rate implications, you can see there in the middle column at the bottom, the total $110,500 of increased levy that was referenced compared to last year. The tax rate overall would go from $6.25 down to $5.71. But that reduction is largely due to the revaluation process. If there wasn't a revaluation process, there would be a very slight increase because of the additional $110,000. So relative to the funds, if you've watched me do this for the last half a dozen years, I've followed CALS where I give you a bunch of numbers, but I'm just going to buzz through the highlights of the funds. General fund, that's most of what we've discussed so far. The solid waste fund, there's no user rate, no user fee rate increase planned. In the sanitary sewer fund, most of the retained earnings were invested in the new building. The expected rate increase of 5% would cover the MMSD rate of 2.5%, but that comes back to the Common Council in the first quarter of next year once MMSD's rate change is known. And it does include the purchase of a $240,000 camera and televising equipment. The capital outlay fund, departments requested $1.2 million worth of capital outlay. Historically, we've had about $550,000, $560,000 worth of funding each year. The last couple years, there's been a little more than that because the Common Council's dedicated some reserves money to it and a little bit of, it, I think, landfill siting fees. We did find a way to keep it up to about $740,000 for this year because of some of the priority needs that were identified. And so we did that by using a little bit of fund balance, moving some additional landfill siting fees in there, and anticipating not purchasing the video conferencing equipment that was budgeted by you for this year, letting that fall to fund balance and reappropriating it for some more important IT equipment that's needed for security and networking backbone. So I figured it was more important for that backbone structure than the video conferencing, unfortunately, because that would have been a nice program. Equipment replacement fund has an ambulance, two building inspection vehicles, which are quite old, and three highway vehicles. Again, that fund, as it has been for a number of years, continues to be in an underfunded position, especially when you look at the year around 2020 when some more expensive fire department pieces begin to come into play. Street improvement fund has just about $705,000 in tax levy with an additional $133,000 in landfill siting. Total expenditures of $940,000 funds the first six of the 11 requested projects made by the department, and that list is in your budget book, which I'll hand out to you here when I'm done. The capital improvement fund, which is the portion of the capital that's intended for the larger developments project, it's where we list those projects that have the funding or the borrowing for funding. The major project areas that you see there are largely an extension of actions that the Common Council's done. We've anticipated the $10.9 million toward the baseball commons. If something happens and it doesn't move forward, you don't borrow it, you don't spend it. But you need to budget for the potential for it. And that's what this document does. And additionally, the $4.7 million in assessable utilities and infrastructure costs. If you recall last year's budget discussions, there was a portion, about $500,000, taken out of the City Hall remodeling with the discussion that, hey, when we get the money back from MSD, we can do it without necessarily doing it on a straight property tax. So we have put the City Hall repairs and remodel project in there. It's about $1.8 million. And the two sections of roof and the HVAC money are pretty much mandatory at this place. As far as repairs go, those need to move forward. We've gone as far as they realistically can. We've also included a lot of parks projects, probably more appropriations than the Common Council will likely use in any one year. But again, we don't have to spend it. What we wanted to do was give you the appropriations so that next year we can figure out what can happen and move it forward. I consider this an extension of Common Council direction because earlier this year we passed a resolution that extended the ability to hold those impact fees for three more years. We've gone 6 months of that 3 years and we haven't accomplished anything yet. That can't happen again next year because we can't extend it any further. So we've set everything in here so that we can make decisions on priorities and get them moving forward. So we've put a lot of funding, over half of it, from impact fees. The salt shed that was suggested last year should be moved forward to this year. That's in there. The West Marquette extension, emergency preemption vehicles, and some sewer water and water utility projects. Development funds are the impact fees side of what we just talked about, so I don't need to go into that in great detail. It did see some increased revenues again due to the building permits that would be anticipated for TID 5. The debt service fund, as I talked about, the property tax levy support is down $200,000 to $1.3. That $200,000 is what helps support the activity when you only have $110,000 in new levy. Again, remember, 2007 through 2011, you were using an average of $600,000 in new levy just to maintain operations. So that bottoming out of debt service was useful this year. Grant funds, as we've talked about, it incorporates the coalition grant. Library funds requested extra funding, an increase of about $52,000, about 3.6%. They were given additional property tax levy of about $35,000, which is about 0.75%. They've expressed concerns that the classification and compensation study sort of implementation hit them a little more extensively. But given the levy freezes we've had over the years, there wasn't money to give them sort of a supplemental increase beyond the first one.
Let the record reflect that Alderman Mayer has left his seat at 8:23.
So the budget they submitted does have use of fund balance of around $65,000. That's the third year in a row for them that they would have it and take them down to about $300,000. So that's probably not a sustainable thing for them. So they need to either figure out how to begin to realign that budget to the levy we're giving them, find other revenue, or the Common Council would have to determine somewhere to give them additional levy that right now there isn't any. So in conclusion, of those things, I think it's worth noting that the budget is actually fairly creative in finding funding methods to maintain operations when we only had growth of $110,000. The buy down of the pension accrued liability that reduced the annual operating cost was effectively like finding $67,000 in the budget to help support existing operations. The landfill siting fees, by working out what we believe we have in place that the county council have to prove that repayment, helps ensure that next year's landfill siting revenues were a couple of $100,000 higher than they would be if we don't get this agreement in place. Appropriate one-time fund balance supported expenses such as the building maintenance plans and the severance, again, helps us maintain current operations. And the historical strategies like the debt service levy transfer and the not adding additional personnel, and then the reprioritization, reprogramming the video conferencing funds. All of those were fairly creative ways to find extra operating expense or revenue. And we believe, I've talked about most of these things, but we believe we've done the things the Common Council has largely brought forward. We didn't incorporate prior year property tax levy. The levy that you chose not to incorporate last year or levy for, state statute has been changed such that you can actually go back and levy for up to 2 years right now of levy that you didn't. So when I say we've added the allowable, amount of 2017 that we can increase. You can go back with two-thirds vote and get earlier amounts. We did not base this budget on relying upon that since you had already declined to incorporate it last year and the year before. We've included everything for TID 5, the classification and compensation study, sticking with the market adjustments, the park impact fees, city hall remodeling, salt funding. Last year, the Common Council said, let's reduce salt funding to instead of 2,500 tons, let's leave it at 2,133 tons, and we funded that at the same level, which is an appropriate, acceptable level. And we've left anticipated under expenditures where the council set it last year. And we've unfortunately had to vacate that LEO position that was under funding since there was no additional funding.
Alderman Mayer has returned to his seat at 8:25.
So this is a balanced budget in the sense that it maintains existing services with appropriate use of resources and fund balance. It does use deficit or does use part of our fund balance, so it records the deficits, but it's all planned deficits that also help us with our fund balance policy. In recent years, we've unilaterally implemented even stricter controls and have only levied additional municipal property taxes of $42,000 out of an allowable $802,000. So we've only levied about 5% of the taxes that we are allowed to, which is the city's operated well during that period. But I think in my role, I'm sort of obliged to point out that constraint on the levy is made possible through a variety of means, and those options are largely used up or have evaporated. The reduction in the property tax support to the debt service fund, that's as low as that can go because our existing debt uses the rest up for the years going forward. The reduction that we've done in general departmental operating expenses, we've basically taken money away over the last 4 years, and they're going to have 5 years with a reduced operating cost and absorbing all increases that any suppliers charged. Since 2014, there's been a significant ability to add staff, so productivity is challenged because road miles are going up, you know, all those kinds of things create demand for more expense, whereas we haven't increased it. Landfill siting fees, revenues are again being applied to the general fund. To the extent that those increase, more could be applied here, but that hasn't yet happened. The anticipated unspent appropriations last year and for the last couple of years, we've sort of crept that number up. It can't really creep up anymore. It needs to turn around and creep down. Options to expand revenues are constrained by the state because they've actually imposed some new rules, so it makes it more difficult to expand some revenues. And reassigning resources from other capital funds, you know, such as from the Street Improvement Fund or Equipment Replacement Fund, that really can't occur either because those funds are all at the point where they're considered slightly underfunded. So it's a risky position that we've put ourselves in, but it's been successful to this point. We've continued to operate with balanced budgets, but little remains in the way of the options to continue to do that. So it's important to recognize that greater risk of simply maintaining current operations and core services after 2017 may exceed the ability of the city to fund or otherwise absorb those gradual natural cost increases without reevaluating willingness to fund those services through property tax increases, including potentially the past allowable increases that were foregone. Last slide here is the budget calendar. We're at the first date of that, which is the Common Council meeting. The intent for today was to give you this overview. I'll hand out the books here when I'm done. And this is where you can identify if, based upon the presentation we give, you know that there's any additional material or information that you need for the October 3rd meeting. Between now and October 3rd, the intent has always been that you're encouraged to work your way through that book or to contact us or any department heads to evaluate and get questions answered on it that you may have before the October 3rd committee of the whole meeting where you work your way through the budget. We have a variety of other dates in there where you can have subsequent meetings to have additional discussions on the budget. Whatever is done by Friday, October 14th, that's what we end up including in the public hearing notice. Doesn't mean you can't change it after that, but the notice gets published, and then on November 15th is the regular Common Council meeting where we have the public hearing and the proposed annual budget adoption of the ordinance.
Okay, since 1998, I've been saying loudly that we give too much money back to the fund balance at the end of the year. Jumped up and down forever about that. And the way we usually give back money to the fund balances is through not hiring employees that are authorized or not replacing them. And then our department managers then tighten up their own budgets as they always do. That gravy train's come to the end. We're now fully staffed. I don't think we've got any open positions, maybe one or two, but nothing where we would say, eh, don't hire it. We've, as Mark has highlighted, we've done the financial maneuverings that make good business sense for next year, but trying to find a lot of money will mean somebody gets laid off or some program doesn't get done.
Nice.
But it's your position. It's your project now, so I encourage you. But before I get to you, I do want to give a big thanks to Mark and Paul and Tom and the rest of the finance staff. They did a heck of a job on this. Challenging environment, me traveling in the middle, and several weekends by these guys. So when you make phone calls to the department heads, especially the law enforcement or the public safety departments, buy them lunch first before you call on them, because they took the bottom line on this. But thanks to Mark and his staff and the department heads on doing an excellent job. So thank you.
I'll make a motion. First off, thank you, Mark. Can we get this PDF to our slideshow sent to us via email?
Yes, it will also be on our website tomorrow.
That's just the email it to us. So
yeah.
Okay, number one. Secondly, I'll make a motion to forward this to the budget, to the committee of the whole, on Monday, October the 3rd.
Second.
Discussion, seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
And just for the record, Monday, October 31st, if it takes that long to get to that date, I will not be in attendance. I have a county board public hearing on our budget that night, so I would not be here for that. So hopefully it doesn't take that long to go through this. Nothing from nothing is nothing. I'm guessing. I mean, I don't even. What's the tax levy increase?
110,000.
What's the percentage?
0.54%.
Is that in here?
Okay. So second page, I think.
Okay. Moving right along.
Relative to that, one question we had then is there anything in specific you want us to bring or be prepared for that meeting? Do you want all department heads here that first night?
Could any of us want someone? Could we just email you the request once
yes.
we get a chance to look at this? I don't think it's fair to state that right now, considering we haven't even opened this up. So I would say no to everybody being here, but I think any alderman that wants to, besides the clerk, city attorney, everyone else,
and the finance office.
Yeah, so but the other ones, they're normally not in here. Fire for sure, because he's hanging around. But anyways, can we just email you?
Yes, that'd be fine. I'd encourage you to email me and
but tell them to keep it open. Tell them to keep their night open just
copy
in case.
Paul and I both.
Right?
Save the date.
Yeah, they should save the date, expecting that it could, but don't plan a vacation.
Told them that
okay,
already.
Without being rude, item G7, agreement with Town of Waterford for intercepts for AL.
Motion to request council approve to establish an agreement to provide ALS service to Tishikin Volunteer Fire Department or Fire Company and Town of Waterford.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying
aye.
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 Abstain.
And so roll call, please. We'll go back, yeah. Okay. We'll go back. But on the item G7, roll call, Madam Clerk, please.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
Abstain.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Motion carries. 4 ayes, no noes, 1 absent, 1 abstention. On the previous motion for the committee of the whole assignment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks for catching that, Jesse. About it too, but after you.
Huh.
Okay.
I thought he said, was there a motion? But he said, was there a
motion? G8, recommendation of the Parks Commission to change hours from 9 to 9 to dawn to dusk.
Your Honor, just a question for staff who's handling this.
Alderman Taylor is not here. Joel.
What? We've dealt with this once before. We didn't do anything. Why is it here again?
They feel strongly about it. They want to try again.
I'm going to make a motion to table this. What I would like to have, I'll table this to the next meeting, I would like to actually hear from them why, from someone from Parks. I don't even need to, be the chairman. Trust me, someone from that committee, or maybe staff. You know, is that Oren or whatever? You're on the committee.
Yeah, there's been a lot of issues.
Alderwoman, mayor.
There's been a lot of issues at Franklin Woods regarding late night people being there really late at night, and they just want to be able to have something that says it's dawn to dusk. Dawn and dusk are defined, and it's just something that they're feeling very strongly about regarding all the different parts.
Okay, and I appreciate the answer. Here's the deal. We're changing something across the entire city because of one park. Or maybe not one park, but that's what I just heard, one park. So I don't think that's good policy, number one.
It actually matches up with a lot of the
other communities
mm-hmm. that have been doing it and
so
changing it.
So there's a little bit more a little bit new information in this packet?
Well, I did see that. Yeah, I did see the comparison in
so
there.
So they tried to address some of the comments that they saw in the minutes from the last meeting.
And we have issues in other parks besides this?
Yep. So not everybody does it, but there are other communities that do. They double-checked and actually talked to staff at Brookfield, who does it.
All right, withdraw my motion then, if somebody wants to make one. That's fine.
It was never seconded, but thank you anyway. Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those, Mr. City Attorney.
Subject to technical changes in the ordinance, so that it includes the definitions of dawn and dusk in the context of the addition to the code.
That's your motion.
We'll do that change, yep.
And Alderman Barber agrees to that. I do support this. It will make life easier for the police officers in the city. And as well, it'll help DPW because now they can close at a reasonable hour and All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Alderman Taylor, for betting on that.
Sure.
Item G9, preliminary resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, because I didn't want to read it. All right. Those in favor signify
aye.
By saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G10, a resolution to amend. We did that. We got to move to G12, which is, if you're going along, it's page 165. An ordinance to put stop signs at Rawson and North Cape, Alderman Mayor.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Do you have a question? Is there going to be any discussion regarding changing the speed limit? What is the speed limit?
Let me finish this. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Alderman Mayor.
One, is there any discussion regarding changing the speed limit on that road?
Excuse me, I wasn't at the Board of Public Works meeting, but I understand that they did discuss that. As I understand, they felt like it was appropriate as a collector street, because it is a collector street.
So if
you'd like them to consider it as a formal action, we can.
I would like that. Thank you.
Okay.
What's the speed currently?
30. It's 30.
30?
It's 30. Same as St. Martin's. They're both 30.
All of them too.
Well, we did, I'm on Public Works, and thank you, Your Honor, for putting me on there. There were three things that we talked about when this road, this was before Alderwoman Mayor was on the council, Barber. We talked about three things to the residents. One, stop sign, which we're doing right away. Right when we took ownership, we're doing the stop sign. The second thing we talked about is taking a look at the speed limit, which now we can do. That's not a problem. The third thing was truck traffic. You know, this is our road. We can start writing some tickets and monitoring with our police department to keep vehicles from cutting through. That was the third thing that we should start taking into consideration, because this is our road and we're going to be rebuilding it in 30 years, hopefully, and there we go. So those are things that we should discuss. So I would say on the next Public Works agenda, we may put those other two items. We took care of the stop sign right away, but for discussion on how we want to handle it.
You guys are the men.
All right. Good.
Sure.
And how soon will those stop signs get in? A
couple days.
Pretty soon. Next week.
Okay. G13, a letter from Max Fonsing appealing noxious weed determination for property located at 7730 West Terrace. Do you want me to take it, Dan, or do you want to go ahead?
I'll actually...
Alderman Mayor.
Just let me go briefly. I talked to Mr. Fonzing. Actually, I got an email this morning, which seemed to solve the entire problem. I later got a call from from the president of the association saying he pretty much agreed with that, but he needed time to take it to the board yet. So we may be able to settle this whole thing in a very amicable style. So I would move to table it for 2 weeks.
So, you are the man. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That was destined to never be solved. G14, we did. G17. Authorized Director of Administration.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
I'm saving you money.
Mr. Liberta.
As you note, the council action sheets indicate that we are awaiting the third part, which did come in from Heartland Business Systems. And it was at your chairs when you got there for $8,253.67. Staff's reviewed the technical aspects of it and recommends Heartland Business.
I have a request of the Common Council that you authorize a dollar amount not to exceed, and I would suggest
that's what my motion was.
$9,000.
Sure.
And allow the Director of Administration and Information Technologies Director to negotiate any additional cabling within this within the scope of this as they see fit. More strands.
You can do it for
$9,000.
No, I said
you can
do it for about $88,000.
Okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Who made the motion? Alderman Taylor.
Yes, I said I agreed with that. $9,000 not to exceed.
And the second was?
Me.
That Mark. Okay?
Yes.
Mr. City Attorney.
Technical changes.
That's exactly what I also added.
I heard you say
that. Boilerplate contract terms.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I heard Alderman Taylor.
Yep, I did. It's always the technical corrections.
I heard Alderman Dandria second. Mm-hmm. Alderman,
absolutely.
Can I just get clarification on why we are voting on this now before the pending proposal is in? Pending proposal. The results to be provided, and we're voting on what exactly?
We were Heartland came in Friday and did Thursday and Friday, and they had to get their cost proposal to us. Normally, most of the times we get wires pulled, it's a slightly smaller project, and we just have the people and we just do it. It's a normal operating. Since this exceeded $5,000, we did bring it to you. You may recall that you approved a much larger contract for, I think, about a $60,000 project for IT about a month ago to get the right levels of speed that those devices need. We need to improve and get fiber pulled from the room it comes in down to the boiler, which we call the telephone room, up to the two first floor distribution areas and a larger one from there over to the IT area. So this just supports that project. But because it exceeds $5,000, we don't tend to do that as just regular maintenance. But we follow the same procedure, contact three vendors who pull wire for us and get pricing for them.
Okay.
Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying
aye.
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 Aye. That was energetic. Any opposed?
Aye.
Abstain.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Dandria?
Aye.
Alderman Mayor?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderman Mayor?
Abstain.
Motion carries 4 ayes, no noes, 1 absent, 1 abstention. Move on to item G18.
Motion referred to Committee of the Whole. We're going to be here anyway for the budget. Let's move it there.
Sure. I'll second.
Discussion of motion, seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item H1, licenses.
Alderman Mayor and I held a very important meeting at 6 o'clock. Motion, all of them approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion of motion, seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Now we move on to my favorite one, I-1.
I love this one now.
With the new corrections, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Sandy. Is there a motion approving the following? City vouchers ending date of September 15, 2016, in the amount of $1,953,174.10, and payroll dated September 16, 2016, in the amount of $370,234.06, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $225,704.71, plus city matching payments, and pay the estimated payroll dated September 30th, 2016, the amount estimated at $410,000, and payments of the various payroll deductions estimated at $380,000, plus city matching payments.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, no abstentions, one absent. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.